you coming back in here with dirty jerseys. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jerseys.
Look at anybody go and sit and have a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Right, lads, I want to start this week's podcast with a story. It got me thinking of it ahead of the Munster final in Kerry and Cork, the oldest rivalry in the GAA. The story goes back to, it's my favourite rivalry story, and it's before the 2009 All-Ireland final, when a lot of Kerry fans, generally, right, you go from Killarney on the train, but a lot of Kerry fans would go from Mallow in Cork, because it's a direct line, so you can park in Mallow, get on the train, get up for the All-Ireland final. But the car park was so full, it was All-Ireland final day, Kerry playing Cork. So a lot of cars parked out on the road, right? That happens like an overflow. And when the Kerry fans came back and got off the train, they realised that every car with a Kerry reg had been clamped and every car with a Cork reg was left bare. So they take their GAA seriously in Cork and seriously in Cork County Council. Welcome to Friday's Three Man Weave, the Boz of the GAA podcast. Morris Brosnan here. Delighted to be joined by Mark Farley. Mark, how's things?
Oh, I don't know how they are. I'm a bundle of nerves here, Morris. This is a big weekend. I mean, can Meath do it? Can they finally overcome the Dubs? Who knows?
And Mick, what's the crack?
Not too bad. I'm all right. I'm feeling kind of just excited to be a general GAA fan. Obviously, Clare are playing Leitrim in the qualifiers this week, but more so, I'm just looking forward to being a neutral for the rest of the year and watching on.
Yeah, because Mark has been unbearable in the office this week ahead of this weekend. And that's not before we even talk about the football.
He started giving out shit to me because I liked the song there a few minutes ago.
He's a bundle of nerves. You're merely an outlet.
Oh yeah, he's been attacking me all week. But you look, I'm well able for it. Like, you know, we've all been on the other side of that one. The 2009 All-Ireland final. Strange you bring that up. I was on the Friday before that doing a show on the Cork Kerry border in Knocknacree. And the Cork side, and there was we were also in Gnevilla, just across the border in Kerry, and to say it was the greatest session I've ever been on in my life would be an understatement. Knocknacree, if anyone's listening from there, I honour your town's ability to party. There is, it seemed to me anyway, that the village part of it consisted of a road with one side houses, terraced houses, and the other side of the road was pubs. I don't think there was any shops in there or anything like that, so they must have had to go into Mallow, I'd say, for the shopping or whatever. But we went through every one of those pubs. It might have been a little bit after hours a couple of the times, and it was without a doubt one of the best nights of my life.
What a story.
And then Cork went and lost the All-Ireland, and I was very disappointed for them.
This is our guest, the Handicast podcast, but before we get into it, we just ask, please do rate and review this podcast. It really does help. If you're listening to this on the Boz.ie podcast feed, make sure to go subscribe to the Boz.ie GAA podcast feed as well. We've got some great stuff coming up there in the next couple of weeks. But I'm the defending champ, and the only person who hasn't taken me on, I think, is you, Mr. Mark Farley.
Yep, I have done no preparation for this, but I'm feeling confident.
Well, you're not allowed to prepare for
it. It's literally the name of the game.
Highly illegal for you to prepare for this.
But you could look into stuff. You could like find out, for instance, who's playing this weekend.
Yeah, that'd be good for sure. Yeah.
That would help.
I'd like, as the last week's defending champion who lost to Morris in a barn burner, I would like to take a little bit of umbrage with him saying, the only one who hasn't taken me on so far is you, Mark, seeing as this is your first defence and you haven't given me my mandatory rematch, and I am waiting in the wings, and we'll see how this one goes.
Fair. So you're going to take the mantle here.
I will. We'll start off, lads, with Croke Park on Saturday. I've only got two matches, unfortunately, from the three hurling finals, because there hasn't been a spread made for the Laurie Maher Cup final. However,
that's good for Morris, because he thought he had Fermanagh winning the Laurie Maher Cup final 3 weeks ago, and now they're not even in it.
They're not even in it. It's going to be between Lancashire and Leitrim. I am going to throw this in as a bonus question, though, to start things off, right? Because if either of you can name for me the correct price of either team to win the match, you will get your 2 point exact number. But if you don't get it at all, there'll be no points made for it, right? So, because this is a round where it's only one answer each, I want you to write down your answers.
Lancashire were in this final last year.
They lost to Sligo, didn't they?
Yeah. And really kind of, like, they're without kind of declaring our bias here, there's a team that you could really easily get behind. Like Lancashire are pulling players from Manchester, Liverpool, Chester, Newcastle. So they all train in their own cities and meet up to play games together. They didn't even have a home ground last year, so they had to play their home games in, fly over to Ireland. I was reading an interview with Ronan Crowley in the Irish World this week, where he kind of expanded on what they're trying to do in terms of developing English-based players, something we talked about with London as well. But to see that in hurling is equally kind of like nice to see. This is a guy who went to college in Salford and is working in Manchester, but playing for Lancashire this weekend. So it would be, it would be nice to then get over the line, particularly after what happened last year.
And they're also flying the flag of St. George this week, because I'm sure they're not, but last year we had three English-based teams in one in each final. But this year it's only Lancashire on tomorrow on Croke Park.
Morris has spoken a lot there. I have lots of great insight on the Laurie Mar Cup final as well, but I am going
You're obviously from a Laurie Mar county yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to keep my silence here because I don't want to give away anything.
Okay, well, do you want to go first then and what you wrote down, and Morris can hold up his?
I have Lancashire at 10 to 11 and Leitrim at 15 to 8.
Okay.
So Leitrim 5 to 4, so you reverse the forecast for Lancashire. I thought Lancashire would be favourites after last year.
Lancashire are favourites, but neither of you got it right. Lancashire 8 to 11 and Leitrim 11 to 8. So we start off at a stalemate, but I think it was good because we got some good Laurie Maher chat.
And I wasn't far off.
You weren't that far off, actually. You were pretty close.
One did you write in each of them?
And next up, for some reason, is the Christy Ring final. Have you any reason? No, why that's the at second 2 o'clock. Match?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw them tweeting about that, but I'm not actually sure why it's scheduled that way.
Yeah, I suppose maybe they're expecting the biggest crowd for that, so it might bleed into either the game before and after.
Yeah, can I clarify? I know the spread in this game, so I'm gonna bow out for this game. But I'm gonna let Mark answer first, because I actually have a point that I want to make about that game.
Well, I'll tell you we're starting off slowly here, because we've had every other question we have. We've got 8 qualifiers, 3 provincial finals, and the Nicky Racker Cup final. Everything will be conventional after this. But for this, Mark, I'm going to make a ruling. He has to bow out. You have the chance of a 2-pointer, but no chance of 1 point.
Right.
So you may go, and then we'll let Morris make his point about Meath versus Down in the Christy Ring Cup final. I nearly didn't tell you that. Meath relegated last year. Down former the second team of Ulster hurling, really.
Down.
Who will be waiting in the Christy Ring Cup final for Offaly next year?
Christy Ring, but haven't. I think they were. I'm going to say Meath are favourites, and they are 10 to 11.
No. This is with a spread.
You've got a spread.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. It's just we played this game 1,000 times. Like, we did the other thing once.
You look up if Meath are indeed 10 to 11. Meath minus 2.
No, it's way bigger. It's minus 6, I think, isn't it?
He says like he doesn't already know. Yeah, it's Meath minus 6. Yes. Yeah. So
on this, right, just a really quick point on this. Like, and this isn't to be disparaging, but just on the debate recently about tiers, like if there's anything, I'm like full, I would never overlook Down, whatever, you know, you give them the due praise they deserve. I think they've done like really remarkable work. Getting Jeremy O'Sullivan involved this year for the Rock was a great idea. And I think that has paid dividends in terms of like a load of young players with someone to look to. I know the two Savages, Gary Savage's two sons, they're both playing this year and are tearing it up, and that's great to
see.
Like
Savage stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so they've got like Down hurling legends, his sons, and a really young team. I think they're missing Roy McCrickard because of a wild pull against Roscommon, but nevertheless, like, right, so there's a load of good stuff going on in Down, but it'll do nobody in this division any favours to be hammered by Meath. And what'll happen, like, I think we're going to see a trend here where you'll see the team from the Joe McDonagh yo-yo up between the All-Ireland to Lee McCarthy and back down. The team from the Joe McDonagh, because it's now mid-5 and it was 6 last year, yo-yo down and back up. So Meath went down last year. Meath have done savage work in terms of trying to promote hurling in that county. Like, I think they've 20 clubs versus like 50 football, but they made their leagues from 6 to 8. So because they had 8 to get more games, these hurling, they only had 6 senior clubs, but they've got a 12-team senior championship because they gave like a stronger tier and a weaker tier. Everyone gets a chance to win it at the end, but it's give everybody more games to kind of promote it that way. So they've actually invested in purely in a hurling county board, same way they're doing Galway, to split it up. So Meath have done savage work within that, and deserve full praise for that. But Mead going down there, like, they won their first game by 16 points. They won their second game by 17 points. They beat Roscommon by 5. They won their semi-final by 11. That did nobody any favours. Like, them going out and hammering teams where beyond that you would have a competitive tier. I think that the Joe McDonagh has to go back to six teams. And then if you're going to transfer it, them going up, that making that six and making the Leinster Championship six gives teams a more of a leeway in terms of coming up, as opposed to having one really, really strong team within that tier. And the ramifications for that is that none of those teams, like, it's not doing, like, again, not to overlook Down, I'm sure getting to play in Croke Park is a really great thing, but it won't do them any favours if me go out and hammer them on Saturday.
It's funny if you could actually, I think, look up the podcast from this weekend last year, and this was exactly what was predicted.
That will happen. Yeah, we said this about the situation with Kildare.
Yeah, and I think
Offaly will Michael do the Ryan, same next year. No matter how much they've fallen, they will beat everybody in this division.
I think Michael
Ryan
may have said it, or somebody, one of the managers from the lower tiers, definitely said it on the podcast last year as well about the restructuring. That we were everybody was obsessed with the whole Offaly getting the stay of execution in the senior championship or whatever, but it was like, this is actually another
way bigger part.
Well.
And it's more pressing. And because of that, just to bear in mind what happened to Kildare, because they didn't get a promotion they deserved last year, the amount of players they didn't commit this year was frightening. Their manager left and they got hammered in their first game this year. They lost any momentum that could have been potentially building because they didn't get the chance to do that as well. I think that is like, it's a small fix, but it's a really important fix.
I'm just going to jump in briefly because I actually don't want to spend... We spent a lot of time talking about this last week's show with Carlo, and I just want to make one... It's a question rather than a point. What if you make a six-team Leinster Championship and say next year that is maybe Carlo relegated, they just change it now, and it's Laois with Westmeath who go up, right? Okay, so that leaves the Joe McDonagh Cup as Carlo, along with Antrim and Kerry, who are in at the moment, plus Meath, plus Down, and I don't know who else, maybe Kildare or London, you know? Does that not dilute then the John McDonagh Cup a little bit for the Kerrys and the Antrims and Carlow, who are, you know, somebody is going to get relegated. We have to have promotion relegation. We have to have an ability for people to move. And then there is, like, as much as Carlo dropping out of Leinster doesn't do many favours at the moment, the worst thing that could happen is a team going down to what is basically the old Christy Ring level.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So my counter argument to that is that there's enough teams within that tier to make that still fiercely competitive. Like, I think there's still space for six. Especially, by the way, if Leinster stays at five, there's definitely space for six.
Yeah, if Leinster stays at five, there's room for six.
Yeah, and then...
Because then you've got one team that's probably fish out of water, and they're in the same position as Carlow are in Leinster, where they might be only up for 1 year, but they're playing at a higher level, and they're,
exactly, and
that would be Down in this case.
And I think seven is still workable. Like, four in the Laois Maher works really well. Like, McInerney, it's like, I knew about Cavan not winning a game, but they were within a goal of beating Leitrim, and Leitrim are now in a final. You know what I mean? Like, they there's still a competitiveness there that, you know, nobody's going out and getting hammered. There's enough those tiers work. It's just there's a fix in the middle that I think, and it's a simple fix.
We'll move on to the last one, and just a reminder to people that these games are, there's plenty of tickets available for Croke Park on Saturday. It's an all-day thing. It's some great hurling, some really good games, and some good atmosphere, and you see people at the kind of real grassroots level of the GAA that I think is at its best and purest, and I would love people to get along to it if possible.
It's also on TG Carr as well. So
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, all live on TG Carr. If you don't want to make it to Croker, or maybe you don't live in Dublin. There's a few of them out there. The Nicky Rackard Cup final then. That's the fourth tier. It's Armagh versus Sligo. Morris, this is our first conventional pick of the day so far. Armagh versus Sligo. What's your pick?
Big, as I've said numerous times this podcast, big fan of Sligo hurling and all they're doing for the Connacht hurling. Flying the flag now, obviously. For the Connacht Championship, in terms of trying to get successful, I'm going to say Sligo are favourites, and I'm going to say it's -2.
Okay, Mark.
This is good for Armagh to get this far, bounce back after last year, but Sligo are -3.
Neither of you are right. Morris gets the point because he's closer. It's Armagh -2.
Is it? Well,
yeah. So Armagh are favourites for this game. And that'll be interesting. Can we see? It would be Sligo going back to back. Don't forget that. You know, like, you're flying through the tiers then. It's not an easy thing to do. But we'll see how it goes anyway. People can watch that on TG Carr. They can get down to Croke Park for those three games. And I hope they do. But also on Saturday, and we go to our the three big games. We'll finish with the qualifiers. The Munster football final, the formerly massive match every year, one of the great traditions of the GAA. People aren't looking forward to it as much, I would say, this year. It's in Páirc Á Cuíomh. It's Cork and Kerry as usual. Mark, I'll start with you.
1-0 down. Cork going fierce well in challenge games, but unfortunately for them, Kerry winning a lot of competitive games this year. This is one where it's like, at what point did the bookmakers cop on and actually give Kerry the handicap that they deserve? I'm going to say Kerry. I think Cork might actually beat the handicap, but I don't know what it is.
Jesus. He's round in circles here, lads.
I'm going to say Kerry minus 10.
Right, Maris, what you got?
I'll say it's less. I'll say it's minus 9.
Again, the two of yous are way off. Your radar's not on today. But
I think it's minus 6, but I'm going to go less because of...
It's minus 6. But you stupidly said minus 9, so you get one point for that, which makes it a 2-0 lead.
I played that stupidly safe.
Conservative.
Like,
conservative.
The build-up to that game is amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing because there's enough people talking about Cork that... Well, maybe that's being an upset. Like, there's enough of it there while also kind of dampering it as well. Like, and even the way that Cork have... Like, we spoke on the podcast last week about Cork and Galway in that challenge game, and then we saw how Galway turned out at the weekend. So what stock are you
turns out challenge games don't matter. Yeah,
like what stock are you putting in that? And then even the way the game has reacted. So like Cork named the team dead early on Wednesday, which was interesting. And then I think there was a lot of talk that maybe David Shaw was going to start for Kerry at wing forward. He's not even in a squad. Kerry named a team on Thursday. And then Cork announced this morning before we go into record that they've made 3 changes due to injury, like 3 different injuries between a Wednesday and a Friday.
There's inverted commas there for the people listening.
But the reason they did that, I think, is fascinating, right? Because if Kerry are going to play this style where they have like Mark, and we've battered this drum a lot, but like they'll have 2 inside forwards, somebody on the outside, whether that be Moynihan or Sean O'Shea, it'll be one of the two. But then they have, like, if it's not Moynihan, it'll be working back. Jim O'Connor comes in to help out as a third midfielder. That'll strengthen their midfield. We talked about their lack of midfield. That's like a really intelligent idea. Like, if you're not getting enough out of your 2 midfielders, pick 3 and then bring them back. Then you've also got Sean O'Brien, who'll do the dog of work they have. So initially they had O'Rourke and McSweeney playing at wing forward, but that doesn't work because, as we mentioned there, their players need to actually, like, tag them. You know, you can't let Sean O'Brien fly in open space. It doesn't work. So Kevin O'Driscoll comes in. That's the change that they've announced this morning, which is actually, it's a shrewd reaction to, like, before a day early reaction, but it's still an interesting reaction to that. And then, you know, you bring in somebody like Stephen Sherlock, who, like, Stephen Sherlock is, remember the game against Nemo the 2 years ago? I think he kicked 8 points in the draw game, 2-8 in the replay. Like, he's an out and out attacker. He's playing at wing forward. So does that mean suddenly that you've got somebody like, is he trying to put the clampers on, like, say, Gavin White? Gavin White's going to try and get forward constantly and come back, but then, like, you try and attack him the other way. And suddenly it becomes like Cork playing, like, Corkness, like, actually trying to ignore the sweeper and go for it. Like, Roy Dean letting the ball into Brian Hurley, trying to play football that way. And so Cullen Moneta said during the week, Cork can't afford to go back to what they did early in the league and play a sweeper. They actually need to go for it. And I think he might be right.
Yeah, but, like, as we're saying, team selections and challenge games aside, Kerry won this by 17 points last year.
Yeah.
And in the intervening 12 months, Cork have been relegated to Division 3 and Kerry have gone to the Division 1 final.
I think...
And all their really, really young team are a year older.
And I'd like to say for the record that when I said I think Cork can be the handicap, I assumed it would be bigger than -6. So I'm backing down from that prediction.
I also think Kerry will comfortably beat the handicap, but I just think the way that Cork are moving is a lot more positive than...
Yeah. That's. I think you're right, and I think there's definitely a bit of Yerrorism though in you. Like, there's a lot of Kerry blood in you, and it comes out at times like this. For the record, I think that has to be noted. I think what the Munster champ, well, I think what the All Ireland Championship means, nothing to do with Munster. What it needs on Saturday night is it needs Cork to put in a performance and kind of in front of their own fans and lift themselves a little enough that, you know, it feels like Cork have some kind of relevance again, and even just for, you know, the relevance of the round 4 qualifier draw when we get to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Kerry, we need to see them tested in a real championship game to see how much of a stamp Peter Keane has put on the team, you know, because the league, for all the talk that we do with the league, it doesn't actually tell you anything in this regard. And if they're crawling into the Super 8s, having not really played a full game under this manager, I'd be kind of worried about them because you never know when you'll be caught cold. And they were caught cold last year.
Yeah, definitely.
And something similar could happen. And obviously Munster did them no favours at all last year. We'll move on. It's 2-0 to Morris. And he gets to go first here for the Ulster football final. I don't know how Mark has avoided the spread for this because it's the only thing he's cared about for the last 2 weeks. But I fully trust him that, as always, everything is above board here. It's in Clonus. It's in Clonus at 2 o'clock on Sunday. We actually played this game out on the PlayStation 2, Gaelic Football 2, during the week, and it wasn't good news for Cavan. It was a bit of a thriller, actually.
It was a thriller, but I, as always, mentally capitulated while still a commanding lead.
That's and, it, yeah. 1-2 to 2 points up, Mark was, as Cavan, which in Gaelic Football 2 on the PlayStation 2 is possibly the most unassailable lead you could possibly have, but somehow managed to lose it. An outstanding performance from Michael Murphy and ended up losing 7 points to 1-2.
8 points.
8 points to 1-2, yeah, actually, yeah.
So I let that county down.
You'll be able to watch that as well as our Leinster final PlayStation 2 offering, which included me, so it was a lot poorer. Playing as Dublin with Meade caused a massive upset in that. You'll be able to see that on site and on our social channels over the next couple of hours. But let's back to real business. Who have you got, Maris? Cavan, Donegal.
Yeah, Donegal are favourites.
Sherlock.
And I'm going to say
we're getting in his head.
You're angry at him.
Yeah.
For not tipping Cavan.
I don't know. He's just angry, he's just a man. Like,
Donegal, you know. I think Donegal are favourites here.
Donegal, I'm going to say the spread is Donegal -3.
I wanted to go -3. Why didn't you let me go first?
Because I'm trying to be fair because Morris always forgets who goes first
or who's involved.
So I've actually written down who gets to go first on each one.
I think Donegal are -3. I don't know what else to say because that's
we had this issue last week. Yeah. You're not allowed to pick it. It worked out well for Morris last week.
While you're thinking about that, tell me, like, what will Cavan do against Donegal in terms of, like, Donegal have shown their how they, like, turnovers are like oxygen to the fire for them. Like, that's what they want. So that either Cavan need to keep players back and not be exposed as they were against Armagh, or need to be, like, totally, like, Dublin levels of efficiency with possession. Like,
I don't think, yeah, that's not like, it's more, I'm thinking in terms of the quality of the game. I would have thought after the semi-final, I was thinking Donegal are going to do what Armagh did the first day against Cavan, which is flood players back and like stop that Cavan kicking game and stop the long ball into Darragh McVitie. But from listening to Declan Bonner during the week and in the build-up, I don't know if they actually will do that. Bonner's talking so much about how, like, it's going to be a great game and these are two teams that really want to play football, and maybe he's just bullshitting, but it sounds to me like he's going to go out and just try and win it. Cavan are a lot harder even though Tyrone still might be a better team than Cavan. I think the way Cavan play for Donegal, they're going to be a lot harder to curtail their attacking style, because you've got so many, like, with the way the full forward line and the half forward line move around and keep circulating, you've got different types of players. Like, Niamh Magee 1 minute could be on Grobe McKernan or someone in there who's, you know, big man. Even if he needs a sweeper in front of him, like Hugh McFadden was in front of Paul McShane. That works. But then that doesn't work all of a sudden if you've got Darragh McVitie and the likes running off, Oisin Pearson running from corner to corner or whatever it is, that they're dragging them all over the place.
Yeah.
So, like, that's sort of... I think actually Michael Hannon had a great column this week where he was talking about that as well, with in relation to Mickey Newman, where Niamh Magee came on from Mickey Newman was running riot for
me in the league final,
and then they had McMenamin sweeping in front of Newman, who suits for that type of player, but then he doesn't suit for Paul McShane or whatever it is. So, like, if Cavan keep rotating them players, I wonder, could I think Graham's going to spring some sort of a surprise. I wouldn't be, round midfield is where I'd be worried, just in terms of the size of Donegal, and also the Cavan struggle a little bit there anyway. Like, Michael Argue could see game time. He's coming back from injury. I was actually watching the 2014 Ulster under 21 final back during the week.
Jesus Christ, this man is hyped.
it's so many of the players that played that day for Donegal. It was Donegal against Cavan. Cavan won it. Of course he did. And so many players are featuring on Sunday. And Michael Argue was there playing in that game, and he was so hard to deal with, just his sheer size. Like, this man is 6'5" or 6". He's been around Cavan, in and off the Cavan team for the last 6 years or so. So like someone like that who's come back from injury, who might actually hasn't seen get him at all in the championship so far, but could just be put in there as a... Remember, he actually started full forward. Terry Hyland sprung him into the full forward line against Drew Wiley years ago, a few years ago against Monaghan, and that kind of caused a bit of a bit of doubt in the Monaghan team for a while. Something like that, something mad, just to throw Donegal off.
Yeah, like that. I think whatever Mickey Graham, like tactically, that's going to be... I think that's the best battle in this game. Like if you look at Donegal, do everything they can to entice you to come out of your shell. Like the, if like, you're gonna have to expose yourself, even with their kickouts, like the way they Patton kicks his kickouts out to each wing, you need to flood that space. If you flood that space, you have a load of bodies pushed forward, and there's a space.
What about a man marker on Murphy? I was thinking about that during the Donegal game, because he just finds... I was even talking to you about how he literally did nothing for about a 3 minute period, just standing on the opposite side of the pitch in between the 265s and didn't move a muscle. Yeah. And I was just watching him. I couldn't get over it. You know, and he wasn't ready to pounce or anything like that. He was just trying to be invisible. And he just gets into space where he can... he starts all the attacks and somehow ends up ending them as well. I wonder if, instead of worrying about zones, if you just put a man on him,
Killian Clark,
and don't give him any space.
There's an awful lot we can debate about what they do and these mad surprises. Take it now. Killian Clark will man mark
Mike. Man mark, like, and won't give will, him a, no matter where he goes on the pitch.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think you need to do that.
The only reason he might come away from that is if Paddy McBurdy starts running right inside and you need to sweep in front of him. But I think Pádraig Faulkner is probably going to be on McBurdy, and it probably has enough to...
And Moyna can still do the job he did against Armagh, because Donegal, like, those really... they again, the people like the two McHughes or McLoone or Thompson, if he plays, they'll entice you to come back and follow them, because they cover so much space and get on the ball so often. So like that, there's enough, because whatever happens between McBurdy and Brennan, there still is enough space that you could leave somebody in front of them. It's just, how do you cater for that out the field as well? Like, that's what Donegal do. They posed a lot of... I remember thinking back about this after the Tyrone game. I wonder, did I give Donegal enough credit for how they entice Tyrone to expose themselves? Like, you know, in terms of, if you don't push up on the way that on their kickouts, you're going to lose every single one of them. If you run into that the initial wall, if they can catch you at that 45, you're sunk. Like, it's like a moth defense. So yeah, I mean, it's the game I'm looking forward to most this weekend. Yeah,
the interesting thing is they haven't much of a rivalry at senior level, like when we played last year in Donegal. As me Graham said, it was like a challenge game the way Cavan went into it. But the big thing is that these actually have had a massive rivalry at underage level. They all know each other really well. And as Ryan McHugh was saying, and we are Cavan this week, he's like, I know all these lads playing against underage, and I just kept losing to them. So it's funny, it's a rivalry at underage level, the Cavan kept winning, yet Donegal are probably rightly favourites going at senior level.
That was the best time wasting display by my friend.
Like, it's funny, I actually have loads of kind of non-footballing questions about the hype and stuff down home, but I don't know if we've even time for it now. Yeah. I'll tell you what, give me your spread, we'll see what the answer is, and then I'll decide whether I want to ask you about
it. I'm
going to
say Donegal -4, but it's
been Donegal -3 the whole time. Sure, everyone's known that. I'm waiting there for 2 hours.
We all do that.
It's now a 4-0 lead to Morris. Look, we're sacrificing Leinster final time here, but I just want to know, like, is it like... it's just, I haven't been around the county like this in a while, and I'm sure Roscommon obviously are taking your thunder and stuff like that, but as usual. But is it like full on every window, every, you know, side of the road, blue and white?
It's just starting to get this week. I haven't been through enough of it because I live in Virginia, so I'm literally 5 minutes into Cavan.
No, sure, that's where you see it the most, is on the border.
Yeah, through the Lakeside Banner have their flags out. There's plenty of flags out around Virginia, but I know there's lots of people looking for tickets. They can't be got for Lublin money now.
Right. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. And
25 page pullouts in the Anglo South.
Yeah, that's the other thing. A 25 page preview in the Anglo South.
Was every page worth it?
Yes.
Right.
Paul Fitzpatrick was on the podcast last week, and he was just kind of going, remember Morris, you asked him, he's like, should we be doing a free, you know, blah, 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 be doing a preview. And it sounded like, yes, we might do a couple of articles in the build up. No, they've gone through every Ulster final we've ever played in. There's all the Dunny Pass, Dunny Gall games. There's so much in it. And like, YouTube has also been a great great. It's the hype on Twitter as well. Lots of people.
Mark's been shown us clips of the 1992 Ulster first round and a replay of that game. He's been shown us the 1983 Ulster final. There's more to that as well. As he mentioned himself, he's watching the 2014 under 21 Ulster final.
1998 Ulster semi final. That was a humdinger.
Yeah. So there you go. That's where Mark's. If you're wondering why there's only been certain names on content on balls.ie this week and none from M. Faraday, that's probably why. But
I'd also like to apologise because I keep clicking my bloody pen the whole way through the podcast because I'm nervous.
Right. He's very nervous. We have to move on. 4-0 to Morris. You should be nervous about getting a hammering here. In guess the handicaps. Leinster football final for the third time this year. The All Ireland champions, who are going for five in a row, the greatest team of all time, are playing in the championship, and nobody gives a shit. And we barely want to talk about it.
You're going to Morris.
I'm not. I'm going to you first. Yeah. I'm just talking in general. I'm looking towards him.
The bit of hair
because you've been talking for about 20 minutes.
To you, Morris, and ask you, Mark.
the fake Bill O'Hurley on that pre-match. But I look, before we even get to the spreads, like, I know we don't really want to get into the game too much, and nobody, and like, people are happy to see Meade back and would like to see him be competitive in the same way we're talking about Cork. Nobody thinks they have a chance. Like, I don't want to talk about structures, don't want to talk about anything like that, but it's almost sad that we're talking about this Dublin team in such a bored manner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, and you could, I mean, like, you could do a tactical analysis of that game and try and look at what
need
to do, but like, at the same time, if it does, it kind of almost feels like you're pandering, like, if you feel like you don't want to be disrespectful to me, like, if... I've watched Meade like so much this year, and I don't think they're the way they played that, like, that kind of running game will suit against Dublin at all. Like, I think if they it would need to be a total like evolution in terms of have to try kicking the ball way earlier, way longer.
But there's nothing they can do.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Like, you know, no matter what way style they play or anything like that, they're not in that league, and we're just getting to the stage now where I think even in the super eights we'll be in the Dublin matches. And it's weird. And when we get to a semi-final then, and then when we're, you know, on the podcast after the All-Ireland final, we'll be talking about them in great detail and about how they're the greatest team anyone's ever seen, and it's time to give them more credit and all. And then we'll be back to just rolling our eyes at them for the next 11 months. The next 11 and a half months, you know? Anyway, it's just a weird one. What's the spread, Mark? Crow Dublin, Park, 4 o'clock Sunday.
Might be a bit conservative here. I'm going to say Dublin minus 11.
Morris? Big sweat to be saying you're conservative on, isn't it?
I think he might be bang on. I think he might be bang on. I'll say minus 12.
It's minus 12. Mark, not having the luck, this doesn't bode well for Cavan on Sunday. It's 6-0.
I knew it was being conservative.
It's 6-0. Morris did come back from... we've had big comebacks in the past.
Really,
I don't know. Yeah,
last week. But we like to think it's Monaghan, but it's really me.
Yeah.
Like, we hate me.
The one part of being a dub that stayed with me has been a general kind of...
hatred of me.
Yeah.
Like, we hate me. And, like, my grandmother, who's 99 this year, absolutely despises me. No, the way I hate me, you know, that team that you would have hated in the 90s. Like, we hate me. Like, one of the reasons we hate me was hair and... everything else flying. Why do you hate me? Like, we hate me. People at Kells line the streets to welcome us back. We're throwing stones at the car. Why do you hate me? We can hate me, but we can respect me.
Yeah.
Like, we hate me.
We hate me. Anyway, the All-Ireland qualifiers, round two. Starting Saturday, 3 o'clock, Antrim versus Kildare. Where's this on, Morris?
It's on in Corrigan Park, unfortunately.
Corrigan Park, and not Casement Park.
No.
That doesn't exist anymore, but you were up there yesterday.
I was, yeah. I had a brilliant day in terms of chatting to people, and for anybody who's listening to this on Friday, please do watch out for our video that will probably be going up tomorrow. Just a short video shot up in Casement Park, which obviously has been out of action for 6 years. Like, this is supposed to be, you know, the pride of Antrim and Ulster GA, and it's like this weed infested crumbling stadium. It's really sad. I remember when I was 7 or 8 talking about a Red Bull Cup game with my father, and he was telling me about Gaisman Park being the nicest pitch in Ireland, without a shadow of a doubt. It was like a carpet, and now like the whole thing is going to need to be torn to shreds and done up again. Like it's in kind of a falling state, and the damage it does, it never really, like, it's been a team, like, I think for the last couple of years people talking about like, oh, you don't realize how damaging it is for Antrim GA, and I was always kind of like, it's a pitch, like you still have home games in Corrigan Park, or if you're going to Athletic, and it's like, I wasn't really sure how that could be responsible for the decline to the extent that it was. But it was. I was chatting to Neil McManus, and Neil McManus was telling me that, you know, he plays in Cushendall, which is in North Antrim. In Belfast City, every time they'd play in Caseman Park, they'd get all local Belfast people out. Not necessarily the most, like, knowledgeable fans, but they'd be the most diehard fans in the world. Like, they'd be the lads who are saluting you when you're walking up the road, and when you're in the ground, they'd make it feel like something, it would be a part of something. And because of that, there's no GA presence in Belfast anymore. Like, hurling is resigned to the north. That's where they play their games, that's where the strongest clubs are. So you're talking about the second biggest city in Ireland, and there's no GA presence within there. On top of that, then, like, Neil would tell stories about, you know, he'd finish work and he'd walk down the main street in Belfast and people would be saluting him. And his favourite part of Caseman Park was, you know, he'd go in, practice freeze. There's this old man who let us in yesterday, a lovely old man who's the kit man for Antrim GA, Jim. And Jim would be chatting away. Neil Gwynn take his freeze. He'd come out and Jim would have like bacon sandwiches ready for him. And they'd just sit and chat in Belfast. And that's gone. Or even Paddy McBride. We might play something from Paddy McBride now in a second, actually. But Paddy McBride, who's going to be playing this weekend, like, his first memory in playing in Casement was in 2013. And he can remember being in the parade and looking around at, like, saffron jerseys ever. And the pride he got of that, like, that sense of buzz walking down the main street. Like, it was, the place was alive. And it was kind of, he talked about, you know, Casement was more than bricks and mortar. Like, it was a meeting place. It was a focal point of a community. Like, people, you know, you in Galway, you say, like, I'll meet you in Black Rock, which down in Sawtill. In Belfast, it was, I'll meet you at Casement. That's what it was centered around, everything. And without that, there is a sense of, they're kind of lost, to be honest. Like, I was talking to residents there, and it's kind of like they're a bit lost as to what does it mean now. Like, what does it represent? And the fact that it is such an eyesore now as well, and that there's no progress in this. And the reason that this is so timely, by the way, obviously on Saturday they won't have their home game in Casement, but in August, like, this is why it's so pressing. In August, on the 23rd of August, if they don't get granted planning permission, then they're back to square one, because it's a new fiscal budget. So if it's not signed off on in August of this year, they're under huge pressure to try and get this done. And I think it's pretty urgent that it does happen.
And can I ask, actually, how I thought the problem was it couldn't be signed off because there's no minister, because there's no assembly and no
so Belfast executive. Yeah, so Belfast City Council can sign off in terms of a planning permission. The project itself, in terms of like fiscally, in terms of budget, it is still pressing. But I mean, there's been upgrades on other stadiums done in the meantime. Yeah. Like, even, you know, like the
Windsor and Ravenhill, yeah.
But so, like, it can be coordinated that it would happen. And, like, to me, especially what I took away from yesterday, this is not a political issue. Like, this is a social issue. This is about a community, and about kind of having like a centre, having like a pride of place that they don't have right now. And it's having huge ramifications on Antrim GAA. Like, the idea that they'd be drawn out first to play Tyrone and have to go and play in Armagh, I don't know if it's appreciated what you lose by losing that buzz, like that Paddy we'll hear from in a second, what that damage that does to a team and how far you can slide. Or the fact that as hurlers, they don't have a presence in their capital. In the capital, it's like the second biggest city in Ireland, and they don't have any presence there. Like, that's an untapped gold mine, and because they don't have there, and they don't have a stand, they don't have anything to centre around or bring kids in, that doesn't happen right now. So their presence is reserved to, like, basically in Antrim hurling, you've got four clubs in their championship who are, not to be disparaging to elsewhere, but you've got four clubs who are competitive, and they're all resigned in the north, and there's no presence outside of that. Like, it's such a huge issue. And on top of their, like, regeneration of the GAA as a whole, Casement is key to it all. Like, I really hope that is stressed both by what you hear from Paddy and both the video that I hope people will look out for tomorrow.
Like, I remember my favourite day here was against Monaghan 2013. It was a real nice sunny day. The road was buzzing. There was a Camogie game on here before, and you could, just walking around a parade, for example, you just seen the place full of saffron jerseys, and the buzz it brought with it was amazing. And I was young enough, so it was really exciting for me. And then I've always looked forward to more days like it, and that was the last one. So looking back on it, it's disheartening, like, when you don't get to do it anymore. So the memory was so good, and just more or less, you're main playing days are in your 20s, obviously, and not to be able to play here at all or experience it again is very disheartening.
I remember about 2 years ago you did an interview with, I think, the Irish News, and you said you still, it was something you still think about, like you still dream about playing in Casement Park. How conscious are you of that, even now, like looking ahead to this weekend, for example?
See, every year it comes at a stage where you go, am I going to get another game in it, or am I going to still be playing? Because anything can happen to you at the end of the day, but if you actually think about what age you'd maybe retire at, I'm starting to actually think, am I going to experience that again, or am I actually going to be able to play when I'm in my prime, or when I'm like an experienced player on the team, or was it just one game I had when I was a kid? So it's scary, the thought that you might not get to play in it again. So I just hope to God that it happens soon.
So that's Patrick McBride, a former actor, so he's pretty good on camera, as you might imagine. And he's obviously playing for Antrim against Kildare on Saturday. Kildare are favourites for this game. Am I up first?
You are, yeah.
Okay, Kildare are still going to be favourites for this game, despite the fact that it's been played in Corrigan Park, which I saw, by the way, is Corrigan Park is only got 2,000 capacity, because when I went to go see it, it's literally a field. There's a bank and no stands. It's a club, like it's an absolute club game.
Still though, Kildare fans moaning after last year is pretty funny.
It's unbelievable. it's genuinely unbelievable. But anyway, I'd say Kildare minus six.
Kildare minus seven.
Hey, you got lucky. Kildare minus seven.
Back in the game.
6-2. He's back in the game. And look, just one more time to mention that that video will be across all of, you'll be able to see it anywhere, Bods.ie or any of our social channels. Perhaps Friday evening, could be Saturday morning. It'll be there all day Saturday. That game's on at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Derry versus Laois. Saturday, 5 o'clock, Celtic Park.
Oh, this is a hard one.
Yeah, so Derry at home here. I'll reserve what I was going to say about it until you have a go, but Mark, you're up first.
Like, Laois, division higher.
It's a great qualifier, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the point of the qualifiers. If you're going to pick one to go to, it's that or the Monaghan Armagh, I think.
Yeah, this is hard. Who's I don't even know who's favourites. Like, it could be no handicap on this one. Derry at home, maybe you give them a little slightly better chance, but then Laois. Derry minus one.
Morris?
Oh, yeah, I think Derry are favourites as well. But I can't say minus one. Like, Derry minus two.
It's Derry minus two.
What? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, that's, I mean, wow. I said I was going to reserve my thoughts. Like, I honestly, I thought that I was leaning towards it being Laois, and then I saw it as Derry, and I said, oh, maybe it's even. I think Laois could be a better football team, but it is away, so you're thinking maybe it's even. Derry minus two is very interesting. Laois aren't in good form, though.
Yeah,
and I think that we have to be honest about that as well. They're not playing well. But anyway, that's 8-2 tomorrow. Just when I thought the comeback was on. Stop looking into my book here.
I'm looking at the score.
The next one now is a tough one. It's at GBPP.
GBPP, Glennon Brothers Pierce Park.
Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. It's Longford. History of giant killings in the qualifiers for Longford. They've beaten Derry 112 times. They've beaten...
Actually, yeah, we forgot that. Didn't Longford play in the first round of the qualifiers?
Yeah.
Oh, they got to the one against Meath last year, ruined their 10 in a row chances.
That's it, yeah.
So technically now...
They've won 10 first rounds in a row, though. Yeah,
the last 10 times they've been in the first round. They've been in 10 of the last 11 years and they've won all.
That's actually amazing. I can't believe we've missed
that. Yeah, we glossed over it.
So Longford and their incredible qualifier record continues. They won 10 in a row first rounds. They've beaten Derry 112 times. They've beaten Mayo. Can they beat Tyrone?
No. I'm going to say it's Tyrone minus... I think this could be very... 8...
I think it'll be even, maybe possibly high. I'm going to have to go higher again. I think it might be spot on with 8, but I'll go Tyrone minus 9.
I don't know how I kept a straight face there. I can't believe this. It's Tyrone minus 8.
Oh my God.
It's 10-2.
I thought, when you're getting
the big handicaps, you know it's your day or you're cheating.
I couldn't. I know, to be fair, I was like, once you said minus 8, I'm like, yeah, that's minus 8.
Yeah, no, 8. It made sense. Yeah.
It was the most nailed on minus 8 I've ever
heard. Carrick and Shannon, Leitrim versus Clare. Clare not very impressive in the first half against Kerry, much better in the second, but everyone just decided to focus that being about Kerry. Leitrim obviously have had a very, very good year.
This is
one of those qualifiers that I think both teams were happy with the draw, because obviously the home team has to be the Division 4 team. Claire will be delighted to have got Leitrim and to maybe get back on the boat, but the back on the horse, even
back on the boat,
back on the boat.
They're sailing up the Shannon.
It literally would be the quickest way to get to Leitrim, I'd say, is to get up on the boat. But look, they'd be delighted to get Leitrim. But I honestly think Leitrim would fancy themselves. Would fancy if they were to get any Division Two team that like Clare, you know.
Yeah.
So, Mark, this is you.
Is it
in
me?
Carrick? Yeah.
I think Leitrim would win this, but Clare are probably favourites. So I'm going to say Clare minus 2.
Morris, 6 o'clock on Saturday, this game, by the way.
Don't do it to me. Don't do it to me, please.
I think it might be minus 2 as well. I'm nearly certain it's minus 2 as well. I'm going to say, I'd say minus...
come on now. You've got a big lead here.
I'd say minus 1.
I think it's Clare minus 3.
It's minus 3, you're right, yeah.
That's what I said, don't do it to me. It was one of them where I had my confidence a shot. I thought Clare minus 3, and then I chickened out and went
now,
with 2.
Now, unfortunately, well, actually, you've kept alive there because it's 10-3, which means there's a 7-point gap. There's 4 games left.
Jesus, there's 4
left. If you nail the 4 of them, and, you know, Morris doesn't on his 2 chances, then you have a chance of pulling out the greatest comeback in the history of sport.
let's do it, get into it.
But Morris, you're up first here with Westmeath versus Limerick in Mullingar, Saturday, 6 o'clock. Westmeath delighted with their qualifier draws so far.
Yeah, what a weird championship for Limerick, like such a high down to such a low. I'd say Westmeath minus, I'd say minus 6 again.
Mark.
Oh, he's nailed it once more, but I'm going to say Westmeath minus, like, there can't be that much in this. Westmeath minus 7. 6, isn't it?
Neither of you got it right.
Oh. 5.
No, it's minus 8. So Mark gets the point, but it means that now the best he can hope is a draw. It's 10-4. This is the slowest comeback of all time.
That was the most confident I've been for any answer, and it was the only one I got wrong.
These are consolation scores at this stage, I'd say. But let's see if he can put it beyond all doubt with Down versus Mayo in Newry. For me, nobody's talking about this, but this is the qualifier that I'd be most looking forward to. This is the one that I'd make time to watch on TV if it was on, more than any of the rest of them, more than Monaghan Fermanagh or Armagh. Monaghan Fermanagh was the last round, but it's not on TV and nobody's paying any attention to it because I don't think anybody trusts Down to be able to even run them close. Kind of usual kind of overrating a Mayo, I would say. Mark, it's you. Nori, 7 o'clock Saturday, Down versus Mayo.
Mayo minus 6.
I think it's way less. Mayo have so many questions to answer. Like, Rowan being injured. We don't know if Gillian O'Connor is going to come back.
Bad stories that we don't want to talk about Killian O'Connor's knee. But I hope they're not true. I hope we do see him in the next couple of weeks.
I think he came on against Clare in a championship. And then, obviously, you've got Mooney's back for Down as well, isn't he, after that red card? I'm going to say it's minus Mayo minus 3.
Mark's, you could have been conservative here and just gone with Mayo minus 5 to win.
I actually should have.
Win it, but it's too late.
Either way, Mark's nailed it.
Yes!
And he stays in the game. It's Mayo minus 6.
I'd fancy touching Down there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do it, but my preamble kind of gave away. Like, it's gamblers and bookies and everybody is in the same thing. I don't think anybody is taken Down seriously here. I don't think they can win the game. But at home against Mayo, this isn't going to be a hammer.
If I had to put money, I wouldn't put, like, I don't trust it just because there's not enough we've seen in the championship. So if I've only seen Down, as in I've only seen them play once, I know they won the first round cover, but I think Mayo could beat the handicap.
Right.
Like, lads, this is a Division 1 team against a Division 3 team. This is a Division 1 champions against a Division 3 game.
Yeah,
team.
But
I think you're underrating Mayo, not overrating.
A Division 3 team that should have beaten Armagh the first day out, the best Tipperary as well, and that have
handily, and have
their one of their best midfielders to come back into their team as well.
Yeah, but they beat Tipperary, who lost to Cork. The Armagh, like, Down definitely played well, but Armagh froze at the finish line twice.
Are you underestimating Mayo having to go to a packed away ground that they'll never not usually?
I wouldn't bet on it.
They had 14 men in that game too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they had 14 men from after 25 minutes for a high challenge.
I can't believe I had to do it, and it I don't like being in this position, but I just thought someone should stand up for Mayo. They're the league champions.
Nobody usually stands up for Mayo. Everyone always, yeah. They're not talked about enough, I'd say, Mayo. Monaghan versus Armagh, tie it around. This is the last Saturday game, 7 o'clock. Clonus, wrecking the pitch for the Ulster final the next day. Jesus, not much of a turnaround for the Clonus staff there, is there?
No,
they'll be out of there at what? They'll be out of there at 11 o'clock Sunday. They'll be back in 10 o'clock in the morning.
If only they had traffic on the way out when the rest of us are coming in.
If only they had a 24,500 all seater alternative
in Belfast
north. That might be.
Do you know? This match would still be in Clonus. I suppose we're going.
Oh, I mean for
tomorrow.
The final.
I talked to people actually before I was covering a rugby game. I think it was a Leinster Highland Cup quarter final or something like that, and the Irish soccer team were playing the next day in Lansdowne, and I think it was the rugby team was playing the next day actually, and it was a nighttime game followed by a morning, like a 1 o'clock kickoff or something like that. And I was talking to, you know, staff in the Aviva Stadium,
yeah,
not even ground staff, just like general day staff, you know, and they say like that is literally the hardest thing they'll ever have to do. They work until 2-3 o'clock in the morning and they're back in at 6 or 7.
Jeez,
because
no,
it's a big operation,
yeah,
to open a stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
And to run it. And I don't know if Clonus will be quite as extreme, but it's actually a little bit of a story for like 200 people this weekend and nobody else. But anyway, what are we? I've stalled long enough here while Morris has been thinking of a spread for Monaghan versus Armagh. Tie it around.
Monaghan minus 3.
Mark.
Monaghan minus 2.
Jesus Christ, this is a game, lads. It's 10-8.
Yes! Come on, lads.
It's
6 in a row.
Minus 2. Could this be the greatest comeback in the history of all of sport? And you get to go first, which we'll get. I'm just going to you know, build up the tension by delaying it for 2 seconds. And
I can't even remember who's playing.
Monaghan and Armagh, are we angry it's not on television?
Yeah, well, I think
it's on at the same time as the Munster final, but that could have been changed, obviously. It could have been on a 5 if Sky had decided to show a qualifier, but they decided to hold off their games for the Super 8s.
I think, like, this goes back to our conversation before. Like, there's games retrospectively that people are going to kick up a fuss about and be like, why wasn't this on television when they look back at it retrospectively? But there's also games that you can anticipate are going to be crackers. And the way Armagh play and the way Monaghan are trying to play, I think it's seismic fights. I think that could be an absolutely brilliant game.
Yeah, it's also knockout championship and like must win. And I know all qualifiers don't deliver in that regard, but when you have two big teams,
yeah,
you know, this easily could be an Ulster final.
Yeah,
and you know, I think it's a pity, I would say, but it is the way it is. Because there's only a certain amount of games that can be on. We'd be given out if that Super 8 game wasn't on either, you know. Right, last game. Can Mark do it? It's Sunday at 2 o'clock. The reason this is Sunday is because Sligo are playing in the Nicky Rackard Cup final, and there's a couple of dual players there. Morris, as far as you know, the dual players are definitely playing the hurling anyway, and then hopefully being available for the footballers at least.
Yeah, Sligo have a full hand for the weekend. I mean, Sligo,
pretty tough to play 270 minutes back to back. I don't know if that'll be possible, but they'll be available for both. Anyway.
Yeah, it's worth bearing in mind though that there's like the Sligo hurlers who've played, they played the last round of their group game and then played a county football in the same day, so they played a game at 11 and 7 in the same already this year. Yeah. Like these are
it's almost players. Easier to play the same day if they're
you're still yeah
and you don't have to pay
like extra
legs,
time
yeah.
or something yeah. like yeah
yeah
right okay
it, am I first there?
No, Mark is. Tullamore, Offaly Sligo. This is the rematch of
Teagate
kicking the ball off the Teagate.
This is really close. It's such a hard one to call.
This was the Division 3 relegation final, basically, in the league.
Yeah, in that league final. Oh, so close. I thought Offaly would have
de facto league relegation final. Relegation just a league final. Match.
unofficial round. Unofficial league final. And I thought Offaly would have went down, but like John Mon and his shorts are doing the business.
He's wearing long pants the last day. I was devastated.
Was he?
Yeah. Like I'm not generally that interested in looking at men's legs, but John Motton's legs like deserve to be on show to the world. And if he's going to be managing intercounty football again, then he should be wearing shorts.
He'd get 400 or 500 a piece for those calves if he brought them to a mart.
He won't be wearing. It's getting warm now, lads. The summer is here, and John Motton will have the shorts out this weekend. If you're going to Tullamore this weekend,
John Motton will have the shorts out, and Offaly will be favourites, and it'll be -1.
Oh, it has to be more.
Has he blown it?
Awfully after how close it came to Meath. It has to be more.
And what is it?
It has to be more.
Well, sure, you can have a guess. Are you giving him another chance?
No, I mean, I can't work out how it is more.
What's wrong with you?
I'm kind of wondering, am I?
But sure, look, okay, the only way he can catch it is if he's got it bang on. So actually, that's already happened.
In my head, I thought it could be like, I thought it'd be as big as five.
But geez, I was counting one and two.
I'm going to say two though. I'm going to go with two. But yeah, okay, I'm saying Offaly minus two.
Okay. It's Offaly minus four.
Okay, so I'm saying,
oh my god, he was shaking. Morris was shaking there. He nearly blew the biggest lead in the history of this game. He does win, he gets a point. It ends up being 11-8. And look, when they look back at the record books, lads, here, and they see the scoreline, and it's Morris beats Mark with a fairly, you know, 11-8, fairly standard scoreline, you know, a comfortable enough win, they will not know the drama of this day.
No, what a performance. Look at
A great effort at a comeback, but ultimately he was just holding you off there.
Yeah, I hope Cavan can go one better on Sunday. This was the moral victory that Cavan needed, or Cavan were predicted to get this weekend.
I hope the actual victory
will be on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope it's higher scoring than 11-8 as well. But congratulations, Morris, you've survived another week. We'll decide during the week whether I get my mandatory rematch or whether we wheel in someone. Next week though. But for now, I'll hand it back to you.
Before we go, actually, just make sure to, as you mentioned, that Case and Park video is going out this weekend. There's a whole bunch of really, really great work going up over this weekend. PJ in the office has done some brilliant work on the Meath and Dublin, the minor rivalry that's going back to 2011, players involved in this weekend. I was chatting to Mark Keane, who's having a great year in the VFL with Collingwood, but could have been playing for Cork this weekend. All that stuff will be up on Saturday and Sunday, so please do keep an eye out for
also,
that.
Also, PlayStation 2. Retro gaming, that's, you know, possibly the highest quality work of all the things you're saying there. Yeah,
go on the record as well. I feel I've needed to say it, and it's time that I manned up and did it. And I'd like to apologize on air to Mick and also to Gary Connaughton, who played as Donegal, if he's listening. I kind of took over that Cavan Donegal game. May have lost the arse. That PlayStation 2 game. You'll see it on
my commentary was drowned out a little bit by a psychopath. But I
got a little bit too into it.
I would recommend definitely that people read the work. But I also have one more question, and it's about Monday's show. If Cavan win the Ulster Championship, is Mark going to be here?
That's the other thing. I kept meaning, I must book Monday off. And then it got too close to the actual day that I'd be like, can you, like, what's the optimum day that you can stop going, you know what, it's actually too short notice to book this day off.
Did you have a rant on the podcast last year about Meath as well? Was that you?
What? Did you? I have a rant about Meath every week.
Yeah.
I hate Meath.
I had a rant about Meath about 2 days ago.
Like, whatever about Roscommon stealing your thunder, what I hope happens this weekend is I hope Cavan win, but I hope Meath win as well. And that becomes a story on Monday.
Yeah, Cavan drowned out by Mead, causing the biggest upset in the Leinster Championship history.
We'll be back with a celebrating Mead podcast on Monday. But in the meantime, take it easy.